one and all, once again to Nerds on the Rocks, episode 156, 156 this
Woo!
Week. This week I'm going deaf, and in addition to that, we're going to do an episode I enjoy, Ripped from the Headlines. But before we get there, let's introduce our panel this week. We have Justin.
Hi.
That's your greeting, Rory. That's what you went with?
Yeah, I'm dying.
Okay, we have Sam.
Hello! I need to step away from the microphone.
Hello!
Okay, and we have Dan.
I'm just going to go with a straight hi.
There we go. Keep it safe. Keep it safe, keep it simple.
It's like Snow White in the Seven Dwarfs. You got happy, you got dying, and then you just got eh. You know,
I think only one of those was actually a dwarf.
Shut up.
This is the internet.
You got happy,
dwarf.
You got famine, you got plague, you got pestilence.
You know, seven dwarves, four horsemen, what's the difference?
Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, like I said before,
a world where the seven deadly dwarf sins.
Oh.
We're moving on.
Moving on.
I want to be.
Like I said before, we don't usually cover news on this show, but I do like to, you know, talk about it, and we're going to try to schedule this maybe once every 3 or 4 months or so, just kind of picking up on all these random news articles and stuff that have kind of fallen into the entertainment realm over that time. We obviously won't cover everything. It's an hour or 3 months is a long time. Some news is old and kind of gets buried by the time we get to this, but this week we have a mixture of great and mixed news. We have some trailers, we have some casting announcements, we have the VGX, and we have some sad deaths. Most likely we're going to leave the deaths to the ass, because there's really not much you can do after it without sounding like a jerk. So,
true.
I mean, yeah, you can. True.
You can, but you don't want to make fun of it. Especially when some of them write themselves. But we'll get to that in a bit.
Oh, dude.
I didn't say anything.
Of course not. This definitely doesn't count as talking about it.
No.
It doesn't.
Not at all.
Not at all. But yes, I guess you can kick it off, because it seems to be dominating every industry other than comic books, but the comic industry. There was a ton of major news coming from every camp that does comics in the past 2 months.
All right, I'm going to get some food, and I'll be back in about 10 minutes.
Okay. I guess the biggest one, or the most recent one, would be the casting of Gail Gadot from the Fast.
I think it's Gail Gadot.
Yeah.
Whatever, Gail Gadot from the Fast and the Furious series as Wonder Woman in the Man of Steel sequel, which I'm calling Man of Steel sequel and not Superman versus Batman because I hate that name.
It's gonna be called that eventually. So,
from what leaked, and you know, we'll discuss news. We don't necessarily talk about rumors, but from what they leaked earlier, it sounds like they're going with a Man of Steel Batman reference type title, and not necessarily a Batman versus Superman title.
Like the world's finest.
Well, no, there was Man of Steel Dark Victory or something like that, or Man of Steel.
No, that sounds stupid.
Yeah, I didn't say these were great names. I'm just saying
that sounds horrible. I refuse to give them my money if that's actually the title.
I'm not saying it's the title. I'm just saying from what was rumored, it looks like that's the direction they're heading towards, and not necessarily Batman versus Superman or Superman versus Batman. Ideally, I wish this was a third movie so they could call it Man of Steel Trinity, but it seemed kind of weird that they skipped over two, because Trinity, you know, refers to three. But anyhow, thoughts on Wonder Woman being in this film, and the casting choice, I guess.
Like nothing against her personally. It's just an interesting choice, considering like who else they could have picked, and she's not as well known as some of the other people that I would have thought that they'd gone with.
Well, I mean, do you need a well known person in that role? You have.
Oh, no. Well, no, but I mean, think about it. Like, can you honestly tell me that she would be in, like, your top 10 picks for Wonder Woman?
No, but I would have also told you, and I'm not old enough to actually tell you this, Christopher Reeves was, a hand model when he was cast as Superman?
Are you serious?
Yeah, he wasn't an actor. Superman was his defining role. I mean, I don't personally notice. I heard the stories because I do know people old enough to remember this, but people hated Michael Keaton for Bruce Wayne Batman, and that turned out fine.
Historically, people that get hated in casting more end up doing well.
Yeah,
that's also true.
I was going to point out Heath Ledger. That one I did live through, and people hated that casting choice.
The guy Anne Hathaway,
Yeah, that's true too.
So, anything that Chris Evans has ever been in, ever.
I don't know. I think people were on board with him being Captain America.
No.
I know people were on board with him being the Human Torch.
And George Clooney turned out to be George Clooney?
Well, I think George Clooney was as big of a name as he is now.
Yeah, but nobody – you know what? I wasn't old enough to know whether people hated it. But I'm imagining without the culture of the internet, you're not really going to –
Yeah.
Well, I mean, nowadays everyone looks back and kind of hates it, but
yeah,
I feel like that might have been a case of at least it's not Kilmer.
Yeah,
Kilmer wasn't bad, from what I remember.
No, I'm sure, but I think you kind of get attached with the movie that you're in. Like Kilmer wasn't a bad run, but he's in Batman Forever, which was kind of the turning point of the franchise, which Batman and Robin ran with and kind of buried and then hid and then shot and then shot into space. And then sent it into the sun.
And then desecrated on. Yeah. Defecated.
And
both, really.
Fire.
Yeah. So,
like, would you preferred Megan Fox? Because I certainly wouldn't have.
No.
She was the other rumor long before that.
No. People were making that rumor, like, back in 2006.
Yeah, I know. I'm just.
That was an awful rumor.
Saying the new one's a better choice.
That's an awful idea, period.
I think, the biggest thing against her, and I think it's an iffy thing, but I understand, is size-wise, she doesn't look like a Wonder Woman. But, you know, she has time. We've seen actors and actresses, not so much as many actresses, but we have seen people bulk up for the roles. I think the most famous female would be whoever played Sarah Connor in Terminator 2. And
Linda Hamilton?
Yeah, there we go. And Sigourney Weaver for Aliens kind of bulked up as well. And I think there was G.I. Jane. Or is that before you folks' time?
That's beyond me.
I've never seen it.
Okay. So, yeah, that's Wonder Woman. But that was, I think that's the big one. We also had a ton of other stuff. Bryan Singer announced an X-Men Apocalypse for 2016, which is both exciting and stupid because it feels like you're not getting a full movie with the next one. We're just kind of building towards.
Did you hear about the rumor that or the story that leaked about how Apocalypse happens?
No, I have not.
Do you mind if I tell you what happens?
Well, I've read the comic, so I'm sure I won't mind.
Oh, trust me. So basically, the basis for it is that in the past, Fassbender's Magneto finds this alien thing that crashes somewhere, and it takes him over, and that's how Apocalypse happens in the movie. It's supposed to be like a mid-credits or post-credits scene for Days of Future Past.
Huh. I'm kind of curious. Well, I guess they would have filmed that already, but I feel like those post-credits scenes are probably stuff they film with like a skeleton crew because you don't really need much. They're like a minute long. If you've seen Thor 2, I think that one was filmed with like three people.
Oh, totally. I mean, obviously it was filmed with three people.
I mean, I'm excited. I mean, at this rate, I think we're pretty much booked with comic book movies through 2016 between Marvel State, Spider-Man State, and now X-Men State, and I guess DC State. There's just a ton of movies coming out.
That's very true.
It's going to be interesting to see if we can keep the momentum going. I know not everybody's on board with it, and at some point something has to give because I think next year we see something 5 or 6 of them. And then 2015 and 2016 are just insane. So,
yes.
Yeah.
I feel like next year is probably going to make or break it. I mean, you've got Guardians, you've got Captain America, and I think you've got one other film. I can't remember what it is, but I feel like
you have
Made
in Spider-Man.
That's really going to burn people out.
You have X-Men as well.
Especially since they're all pretty much all at least summer blockbusters just because of the type of movie they are.
Well, I mean, I do like the fact that they are spreading them out, because I believe Captain America's in March.
Captain America's in April.
April or March, one of those two. Spider-Man's in May. Guardians of the Galaxy, if I'm not mistaken, is into the fall.
Right.
And I guess, well, X-Men is the summer movie. Speaking of, I guess, The Amazing Spider-Man, we got a new trailer for that, which seems to hint at a possible... Well, we already knew that this film was kind of going... I think they announced dates up to Spider-Man 4 in 2018.
Yes, they did.
God, I can't even picture 2018 in my mind.
I'm not even sure that I want that to happen.
It's actually kind of funny because it's the opposite of the gaming industry, which we'll get to in a bit. Usually the gaming industry, they show something, they have a vague window, maybe it's that. Movies is like, we haven't even started filming, but we're in 2016, we're in 2018, we're May the 16th or whatever this year, May the 18th that year, and it's like, oh, okay, that's kind of special, but you go for it. I guess also because movies kind of, people kind of have movie downturn art at this point, where you know how long it takes to film, to cast, and all that other stuff. And when you have most of the stuff online, they have a cast, they have a director. I mean, if this gets Tobey Maguire, I could see them kind of just spitting this out every 2 years. It's not that bad of a cycle, really.
It seems that's what they were going for anyway at first.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's what everybody's going for at this rate, because, I mean... Marvel's on a 2-movie-a-year schedule with something in the summer and something in the fall starting this year. Marvel had that big fan starting with Iron Man leading up to the Avengers, and that was a huge fan. Fox is pretty much on this 2-year schedule now with X-Men, and I assume they might still do Wolverine alternating films as well, or might do solo X-Men films.
I think they're doing Fantastic Four next year or 2015?
It's 2015, and they haven't even cast anybody yet.
Yeah.
I mean, they haven't announced it yet, so there's that. So, yeah, and it's not just them either. I mean, we have dates for, like, the next two Hunger Games. You have dates for The Hobbit. And all of that stuff is kind of announced up front, and they're just kind of hitting it one after the other. So, yeah, there's that. On the small screen side... of comic books, we've had the Marvel Netflix deal where they announced 4 Street Devil TV series with Daredevil, I believe, Iron Fist, and Power Man, I think that's his name.
Jessica Jones.
I think this is interesting. I do like what Netflix is...
Let me put it in perspective for you. Name the 5 again? I kind of wasn't listening.
It's Iron Fist, Daredevil, Luke Cage, and Jessica Jones.
For perspective, I know one of those.
I'm assuming it's Daredevil?
Daredevil.
Yeah, just because of that movie. If not for the Daredevil movie, I would not know any of them. So how much an average person is going to know about this comic book deal.
Well, I mean, I think what they're doing is being on Netflix, this is just a much easier sell, like you said. I mean, granted, we've seen before. Even before the movies, I wouldn't say Iron Man and Thor were like household names, but people know them now. I think doing
that's
this
true. But Netflix isn't exactly a summer blockbuster either.
No, I mean, this isn't a summer blockbuster.
Like, for Netflix, people have to have an interest in...
Maybe I'm getting
that,
an
that awkward moment.
You were saying something, but I was going to say with Netflix, people watch things on Netflix because it's Netflix, and Netflix promotes the originals. I mean, House of Cards, Orange is the New Black, nobody had any... basis for that, but it's like Netflix promoted it. It was this huge original stuff. And I assume this is going to get the same type of push from Netflix and Marvel, and I assume if it's good, the internet community as well, which can bite you in the ass, as Marvel kind of saw with Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. I think the other good thing about this deal is it does kind of...
Financially, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. didn't bite them in the ass. That show is still fine from that perspective, but...
So-so, because ratings have dropped hugely. It's down to about a third of where it premiered in 10 episodes.
That ain't good.
Yeah, so, I mean, part of it is just, I really hate this time of the year for TV airing, because, like, everything's on for a week, then off for 2 weeks, and on for a week, then gone for a month. It's just really hard to keep up with, so it's just easier to DVR stuff and all that other stuff. So, you know, maybe that's a better deal for them. Anyhow, yeah, like I said, I do think that this benefits them. As much as Marvel's trying with Guardians of the Galaxy, then maybe it does well. I hope it does well. Is I do think that you can risk too much by doing a bunch of obscure characters. And we already kind of saw Daredevil get tainted with the Ben Affleck film from a couple of years back. So, yeah.
It's been long enough to where it's been that again.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I mean...
Yeah,
it's
how many people... Well, it doesn't come on enough for people to remember it, really.
Well, I was going to say, like, the other thing is it's not Batman, it's not Spider-Man, it's not a character people care enough to say, oh, man, a new Daredevil. It's like, oh, okay, Daredevil, whatever. Mm-hmm. Like, it's just, like, I'm sure you could do a new Catwoman film and nobody's going to, you know, people might see it, but I don't think anybody's going to get overly excited for it.
Fair.
No one's going to be like, hey, guys, want to head home so we can watch the new Daredevil series on Netflix?
I don't expect people to do that, but I do expect people to, oh, because Netflix to me is something, oh, you know, I got some time, let me just throw on Netflix. Oh, look, Daredevil. Especially if this comes on over the summer or something like that. And if they do it properly, I imagine, like I said, I don't think it's going to be connected to the larger Marvel Universe, but if it's its own little interconnected thing, not too interconnected like Buffy, where you need to watch Buffy and Angel simultaneously to kind of get out of crossovers, but... Yeah, if it's like, oh, you can watch this, and then some of these characters appear here, and then some of these characters appear there, and then, you know, like maybe for the season two, they just kind of do one big crossover show, that could be interesting.
I think that's how they said that they were planning on doing it, I forget.
Yeah.
But I know that the four of them are supposed to come together to be this group called the Defenders, or
yeah,
whatever they're being called.
The Defenders. So, yeah. And on the other end of the spectrum, and don't worry, Sam, we're almost out of the comic book territory.
Oh, my God.
We have DC in their television deal. Coming off the success of Arrow-ish. I mean, it's a CW success. Let's go with that. they're developing a Flash TV series, I have to say.
Yay!
And they're also developing a Gotham TV series on Fox. Which I really...
Smaller, yay!
I was okay with that when it was like, oh, this is before Batman, which is kind of cool. But right now, it sounds like this is way before Batman. Like, it seems like the first season is going to deal with the death of his parents. So that's, like, I don't even know what you can do.
Yeah, Bruce is supposed to be like, what, 10?
Yeah, so you can't, like, have Joker show up, or even a Joker, because Joker's supposed to be like 12. They're not that big of an 8.
How do you stretch that into a season?
Did you not play Gotham City Imposters? I know exactly how a Batman game without Batman works.
Yeah, but even then, that's inspired by Batman and Joker.
That game is good. Yeah, I know, you're right.
But this is like Batman. Like, Batman isn't even Batman. Bruce Wayne isn't even that angry teenager. He's a 10-year-old boy.
So they basically made Boardwalk Empire, but just set it in Gotham. Because it's just going to be about crime for the first season, if that's the case.
Well, it's going to be about crime cool. The entire time. Which, again, I was on board with if it was set like maybe a year
actually,
or two.
You know what? I'm on board now. I agree with him. Boardwalk Empire in Gotham sounds pretty awesome.
That does sound kind of cool. Can you get Steve Buscemi as Professor Gordon, as Commissioner Gordon?
Is it the guy from Breaking Bad? Because that's
no,
who it should be every time.
No. Bryan Cranston?
Yeah.
No.
I think he's too old for Gordon now.
No.
He's done the voice of Gordon in something.
Yeah, in year one.
Yeah.
But doing the voice and Nuke and the part are two different things. And if this is supposed to be... If this is supposed to be...
If I say it, we have to transfer out of it, but...
What?
Now would be a good time to segue into Godzilla.
Godzilla.
Oh, yeah, because Bryan Cranston's in that.
Yep.
And
I haven't seen the trailer, don't care about it.
I didn't care about it until I saw Bryan Cranston on screen, and then I think I got a little excited.
I hate Bryan Cranston and all, but what does he, like, the humans in Godzilla movies are so indispensable. They're just kind of plot points.
It's true, they're inconsequential overall.
What if he voices Godzilla, and then he's like, say my name?
No. We're not going to give Godzilla a voice. You do not give your giant monsters voices. You give your giant monsters destructive paths.
Don't tell me that would be awesome if Walter
White
would just
not
like,
be awesome.
Say my name, and then so it's like, Godzilla!
No, like, you're getting
you're
it all
goddamn
wrong.
Goddamn right.
Benedict Cumberbatch did the motion capture for Godzilla. That's what it was.
Oh, yeah, I forgot.
Yeah, see, you get confused.
Wow, he's really milking it with these dragons. Lately.
I know.
Moving on. You folks
hold on. I liked the trailer a lot. I think the Godzilla trailer is how you're supposed to set up a trailer. It didn't give me too much of the plot details. It didn't tell me too much about what the movie's going to be about. It just said, here's the, like, outline of a monster. Here's some people. The city's fucked. There's some dead bodies over there. Just go watch it.
Oh, can I talk about – I really hate how we get a teaser trailer that a 2.5 minute song. That's not a teaser at that point. That's just really lazy editing. Like, make it like 30 seconds.
Yeah.
How long was the Godzilla trailer?
2 minutes and 20 seconds, I believe.
Oh, was it?
Yeah.
I thought it was a good trailer. Maybe it wasn't a good teaser trailer, but...
I think it's I thought it was a good teaser in the sense that it didn't show Godzilla. It was just kind of hinted at him. I think you can get away with it.
Yeah, they show Godzilla in the trailers. They're fucking up.
Well, throughout the trailer, you're kind of sitting there like, if you didn't know it was Godzilla, like by looking at the title, you'd be like, what is this? Off until the very end where you kind of hear his roar and you're like, oh.
Yeah.
So I guess in that sense, it was good. I felt like J.J. Abrams does pretty good teaser trailers. Like for Star Trek and Super 8, he had some pretty good ones.
Yeah, I think there are some people who do good teasers.
Did you do Super 8?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I thought that was Spielberg for some reason.
No, I think Spielberg produced it, but...
That's it. Okay.
Which I still don't know what that means. But, okay.
Right. He showed up and said, all right, looks good. Put my name on it.
Yep. Money.
Did anybody check out the Interstellar trailer?
Nope.
Nope. Did that come out?
Yeah, it came out yesterday, I think. Or am I confusing that?
I thought that it wasn't supposed to come out for another couple weeks.
Isn't it out with the Destination of Smog? Isn't it out this week?
Yeah, it comes out Friday.
Shit.
Oh, balls.
Damn it, you're right. Okay.
That is Friday.
I gotta go.
Tickets quick, they're already selling out.
Damn it.
I'm not gonna see it, but still.
I'll see it Friday morning. That's what I'll do.
Oh, you're crazy.
That's better than a midnight. Nobody shows up at 10 a.m. It's the best time to see new movies.
It's Lord of the Rings, and it's Benedict Cumberbatch. You will be surprised at the type of people who will show up.
Yeah, tickets in my theaters have been sold out all week already.
I was about to say, it could happen with his standalone film. Didn't that bomb big time? Because he was dependent on this. He did a film this year.
I know what you're talking about. I think they filmed it like before he became a thing, though.
Oh, was it The Fifth Estate? That one?
Oh, yeah, that one. Yeah.
Is that the one is that what you're talking about?
Sure. Yeah, where he plays Julian Assange.
Yeah, he was ugly in that.
So is that how people...
I mean, he's ugly in general, but, like...
Yeah, I don't get the mail for him or Tom Hiddleston.
He looks like Lord Voldemort took the body of a surfer and peeled it over his entire skin.
I like the internet to like me, so I'm going to keep my mouth shut during this conversation.
Yeah, this is very interesting comparisons being made here.
Sorry.
Oh, not going on the record, you two, huh?
No, I'm not a crazy person.
I regret nothing.
Speaking of crazy...
After I say comic books suck earlier in the show.
I don't think you said comic books suck. I think you didn't want to talk about it. I think you just said comic books suck.
Well, just go ahead and edit it in earlier for continuity's sake.
Comic books
you can retcon continuities whenever you want.
Every time there's a gap that you have to edit out, just put in me saying comic books suck is the filler.
And he's just going to keep repeating it until somebody comes find him.
Yep.
Anyhow, the RoboCop trailer.
Oh,
see this one, right?
I didn't see it, but I heard of that. I don't know, maybe I did see it.
Is it the one with Samuel Jackson as like the president and his ridiculous hair?
Yeah.
Then yes, I've seen it.
Yeah.
Oh man, that movie is so subtle.
It looks right.
America has taken over other cities, and we think that the robots are going to keep you. Like, I know apparently that's the plot. You know what? I don't know it's the plot of the first movie, but from what I've heard, that's the plot of the first RoboCop movie.
I've never seen either of the RoboCops.
Oh, I haven't either.
There's three of them, it's not either.
But
weren't there two of them?
There's three of them. We don't really talk about the third one, but... We don't talk about the second one either, but there are
now after the NSA incident, that plot just seems so pandery.
I'm tired
of overly political movies.
I can tell you as a fan, a huge fan of the first one, that this really doesn't seem to have much in common with the first one, as far as that goes and all that other stuff.
So did they stage him becoming a robot in the original?
They don't stage it. It's an 80s movie. He gets broody, almost murdered.
Okay.
He gets his arm shot gunned off and I think two of his legs.
Oh, that's beautiful.
It's a very gory death, semi-death, because they resurrect him in this suit. And he gets murdered by Red from That 70s Show, which is really kind of funny in hindsight. Especially being that even in the 80s he was bald.
Are you serious?
Yeah. Red's the...
That sounds kind of cool.
RoboCop's an amazing movie. You both need to check it out. But you folks have more pressing matters. As far as we'll get to that later.
I am halfway through Die Hard.
How are you only halfway through Die Hard?
Oh,
who
man.
Stops Die Hard?
Because I got really because I didn't sleep for like 2 days and I just kind of crashed during the middle of it. So
don't stop Die Hard. Nobody stops this train. Nobody.
I mean, I didn't technically stop it, but I stopped. I will make an effort to watch the greatest Christmas movie of all time tomorrow night. Do you want to know what that movie is?
On My Own.
Elf.
Scrooge. Muppet's Christmas Carol. No, I can't. None of my. None of my choices. Anyhow, we'll get to that in
a bit.
I
just said it.
Oh, I heard you. We're moving on. I guess intro talk. The Doctor Who, the Time of the Doctor Troyer.
No,
if you want to
see it.
I didn't even know that was a thing.
You folks are terrible.
Yeah.
I don't get paid to watch Doctor Who.
You get... So, what do you do when your timeline gets filled up with, like, this is today. This is today as of this recording. What do? Uh-huh. You just kind of phase that all out when everybody's talking about it?
No, I just bury the dead people. I mean, smooth. I do my thing.
Smooth like the Rockies.
Shut up.
I just edit videos all day. I don't really pay attention to Twitter too often.
Yeah, I've got a lot of work. I don't really have free time.
I said beautiful work, so I'm pretty much all free time. But speaking of awkward moments on TV, BGX.
Oh,
you
yeah.
Did you
oh,
time
wait.
To watch that?
Wait, no.
Yeah, did you watch BGX, you fucking nerds?
Jesus.
I am channeling my inner Joel McHale.
So, what was that?
Clean
about?
Out the Cheetos what? Out of your fat fucking ears, you piece of shit.
What did he do? Because apparently he was really
mean. He didn't
mean
do anything. He was Joel McHale.
Yeah, exactly. He was Joel McHale. The producers didn't realize who Joel McHale was. He did the exact character that he does on The Soup, or Web Soup, whatever his show is called. So he did exactly that for the VGXs. But whenever they were setting up the show, they didn't realize that, hey, maybe having Joel McHale be his sarcastic self is not a very good idea.
Okay, because I read something where it's like he said, where either it was written offensively or he said something that was really offensive.
Basically, half the stuff he said.
Yeah,
like what? What did he say? Like what?
He didn't. I don't think he said. Well, I didn't watch the show. I don't.
You know, my dig the Cheetos out of your ears, you fat fucking nerds. It was something kind of like that. He definitely referenced Cheeto hands. I mean,
yeah.
You know, not exactly, but
okay.
Also he said a lot of borderline misogynistic stuff too.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah, but again, a lot of that stuff I have to imagine was Spike TV catering to their audience.
Oh, it was totally
Spike.
It was catering
incorrectly to their audience, to an audience they thought they identified.
Right,
that's,
and didn't they even say that?
General.
Didn't
yeah.
they say that they were going to be try to be like more professional about this and stuff?
Did anybody believe them though?
Well, that was a step back. That was their attempt.
I think people believe them every year because you go
I mean,
this
you call that
discussion after every VGA.
That is true.
Like, oh, they're going
to
change.
Oh, you remember 2007 where they had the awards painted on the women?
No. Where is this show for scientific
purposes? It was like in 2007. They had the awards painted, like, literally painted on the bodies of women.
Oh, I'm going to go out to watch this for the next 15 minutes. I'll be back in a bit.
But, yeah. I feel like either Spike TV knew what they were doing or they didn't know. But they got Joel McHale to be Joel McHale on The Soup. He was really doing what he gets paid to do.
I mean, to be fair, this is also the same company that gives us Mansers.
Oh, yeah, that's what I said when people say it's much. Have you. The rest of Spike TV. This was very toned down for Spike TV.
That's probably true, and that's the sad thing about it.
I hate watching Spike TV in general. I always feel dirty if I ever turn it on for anything. Where it's not specifically the show I want to watch. Like, if I ever turn it on for, like, the GTTV and I catch, like, the last 2 minutes of A Thousand Ways to Die or something like that.
It's not so bad. I don't mind
the Spike shows.
A Thousand Ways to Die is pretty much what I can tolerate.
That's what I saw before GTTV.
Deadliest Warrior is also okay. I'm not going to shut down the whole Spike network. They just have some things that are very questionable.
They're just run by idiots.
I would also say that, and I think this is a huge problem with VGAs, VGX, whatever you want to call them, is they still don't know what they want to be, because it's not quite an awards show, and it's not quite a preview show. And I feel this year failed on every account, because it wasn't the big hype show that people expected it to be with. Usually people kind of give it a minor pass, because it's like a world premiere of Dark Souls 2, or Metal Gear Rising.
Yeah,
or
Skyrim.
Or Skyrim and stuff like that. This year didn't have that.
I hope you like seeing the title cards for properties that you liked with the Telltale logo under it.
Oh, is that all that they did?
Like, there were some games, like the big takeaway, I think, was No Man's Sky, which a lot of people were on board with. But other than that, it was, I mean, have you seen anybody talk about anything that came out of the VGAs?
The only thing I've seen people talk about is the Tales of the Borderlands thing. Everyone that I talked to thinks that it was that. Or when I pitched it to two people, they honestly got thought that I was joking.
Oh, it sounds. I mean, like it sounds very antithesis of what Telltale's usually does with their games, well, because Borderlands doesn't really have many moral gray areas. You see something, you shoot it dead. That's pretty much.
It's like, not even that. It just, it legitimately sounds like a joke that Game Informer would have come up with for their April magazine, you know?
No, again, it's not something you think of when you think of, but it's, like, if you had a dream versus, I mean, granted, that's not to say it couldn't work. I mean, it's like Pokemon Conquest. Nobody expected a wartime strategy game to have Pokemon that actually work, but it does. So,
yeah, good thing Telltale has never let us down with a proper, wait a minute. Jurassic Park. Ooh. Ooh.
I never played Jurassic Park, so I can't say.
Don't.
Tell you.
Episode 1. Was there even more than Episode 1?
I don't know.
Did they do anything besides licensed property stuff, honestly?
They have. Well, no, I guess Sam and Max. Is Sam and Max a licensed property?
I think Sam and Max is original.
Yeah, I thought so, too.
Okay.
Those
so
are
like, right. What, one, that's like, what, 1 out of 10?
You know what? They do licensed stuff well. I'm not going to knock them for that.
It's true.
What else have, they did. Obviously, they did
Game
Fable.
Of Thrones.
Oh, that was the other thing that was announced. Game of Thrones.
Which actually sounds pretty cool. I think I might get.
Yeah. I hope they find a better way to do action than they did in. I know a lot of people liked the action in Fables, but I wasn't a fan of it. It was still too butt pressy. I hope they find a slightly different way to disguise that in Game of Thrones.
Yeah,
But it is a good fit for the conversations and stuff they do.
Yeah. Oh, that was one of the things he asked about, if it's going to have any brother and sister incestual sex. Which, to be fair, makes sense in the context of the show and the book. Maybe not the best question to ask.
If you watch the Joel McHale highlight reel completely taken out of context, he's actually kind of funny. But when you put it back in context, it's very weird.
In context, where it all sounds horrible.
Yeah.
Well, okay, the other thing was, this was 3 hours, and it really did not need to be any more killer.
Yeah, that was 3 hours?
Yeah.
It was like 4 hours if you count the pre-show hype.
No one counts the pre-show hype.
Well, because they have the entire thing streaming. Because sometimes, I don't know, like I said, I haven't watched in like 3 years. But I remember one year they would give out the awards during, like, they would give out most of the awards on the pre-show.
That was weird.
Yeah, so why do they even call it an awards show?
They don't call it an awards show anymore.
Yeah, they took the A out of it. It's no longer the video game awards.
Well, I guess, true, but like, why don't they just call it like the, I don't know, Trailer Spectacular or something?
Yeah, that was always one of my big takeaways. It's like, don't treat us like we're dumb and call this an awards show. Call it as what it is. It's a preview show for next year and beyond. That's no problem. I'm okay with having a mega hype preview
show. I'm
totally
cool if they just called it that. Because then they give out the Game of the Year award like halfway through the show.
And that's another thing. And it's, you know,
just speaking for myself, that's a horrible choice. I don't know what the other nominees were, but that was a bad choice.
This is getting opinionated, but yeah, most of their choices were kind of what?
I'm not gonna say right or wrong, especially if you haven't played GTA 5 yet. But this has always bothered me, and you know, maybe it makes sense to them. But I always hate the fact that Studio of the Year doesn't win Game of the Year. I don't think Studio of the Year has ever won Game of the Year. In general, most studios put out one game a year.
Yeah, it's a weird award, just period.
So if they aren't,
you think that there would be overlap?
Yeah, you would think, but I think it was Naughty Dog who won Studio of the Year,
yeah,
and then
yeah.
Grand Theft Auto 5 won Game of the Year, and both of them have put out one game. So you can't be the Studio of the Year, but not put out the best game of the year.
Well,
Studio
who put out last one, did Last of Us win any other awards besides, did Naughty Dog?
I honestly don't even know.
Any other awards besides Studio of the Year?
I don't know who won it. Like, nobody's talking about the winning.
What was even weirder than... What was even weirder than the Naughty Dog thing, though, was that GTA 5 won best game overall, but GTA 5 was also in the running for best action game and yet didn't win it.
Oh my gosh! That
so
is...
it was the best game, but it wasn't the best action game.
Yeah, they've done that before with Assassin's Creed, where Assassin's Creed won the best action adventure game, but the games that beat out wins that Game of the Year, and it looks like that was the same thing this year. It's literally like they go through and say, okay, we have to give this game an award, we have to give this game an award.
Yeah, it's exactly what it feels like.
Because, yeah, you can't not be the best game in your genre and not made by the best studio and then your overall best game of the year.
I see something here that's funny. I didn't actually watch it, but it looks like Brothers won the best Xbox game.
Over GTA 5. And the Xbox won the best PlayStation game over GTA 5.
Technically, yeah. Though, Brothers was the only one that could have counted towards a Xbox title because it was a timed Xbox release. The other ones were multi-platform.
Yeah, I think somebody else mentioned that as well.
But why didn't they put like Dead Rising or any of the Xbox One games on there?
I don't know. Because, I mean, obviously they counted because they had Super Mario 3D World, which came out the same time as
Xbox
One. So, their time frame has always been really iffy.
Their best song and their best soundtrack don't line up either, which is funny.
Their best song and best soundtrack.
Best song, Will the Circle Be Unbroken in Bioshock Infinite. Best soundtracks, Grand Theft Auto 5.
Hey, so this is also
I wonder if
thing.
That has anything to do with having the group did it perform.
Hey, real quick, this is probably just me. How did Bioshock Infinite get Shooter of the Year?
Get what?
Shooter
it
of
won,
the Year.
It won Shooter of the Year, but I feel like... I know.
Because isn't that the worst aspect of the game?
Yeah, that's funny.
Honestly, it was my favorite aspect of that game.
But it doesn't really fit into the other categories, so...
I would have thought that it goes to action game.
Well, that's the other... we had this discussion in Ask a Culture interview. This is why I hate video game genres, especially with the VGAs, because it's shooters, it's sports, and then it's everything else fits into one genre.
Yeah,
kinda.
Yeah, it's a really weird system, but yeah, I the other thing we haven't mentioned, and I don't know, I'm kind of curious your thoughts on this. What do you think of this setup, like that whole intimate kind of like either standing in front of a monitor or on the couches?
I don't mind that. That's just reminds me of G4.
It's kind of cool, but it seems really kind of low budget for an awards show.
Like, it was streaming to the internet. They don't exactly have a huge budget to use.
But you could get a little dining room and fill it out with people. Like, you don't need hundreds of people. Just get it's weird when people do stuff and there's like no audience reaction. Like somebody wins an award and there's like nothing. Like I was trying to think about it, and I think what the VGAs should become, if they want to go for kind of that, is they need to become like the Golden Globes. Is it the Golden Globes or the Screen Actors Guild? Whichever one's hosted by Tina Fey and Amy Poehler next year. Where it's like, it's just a bunch of people in just kind of like a restaurant. Like, it's a fancy restaurant because it's Hollywood. But it's a very kind of intimate, kind of personal, you know, and the hosts are now expected to kind of make fun of things and stuff like that. Like, that's kind of like that serious, we're going to have some fun awards. And then you have the kind of stiff, and I don't mean that as a negative, but the Oscars is very stiff and very proper. The Oscars is the award show. That's the one everybody strives to be because that is the show.
That's true, but I think it's a little different for film in some ways because it's like Screen Actors Guild is like you've got different composition of people than you have like the Golden Globes or the Oscars or whatnot. Like the unions and whatnot kind of separate some of those.
Yeah, but I mean, it's the same thing. I'm not saying that, you know, the game and industry needs to be unionized, but, you know, you can have, like, five people from Naughty Dog. I mean, having in California, most of the studios are out there anyhow. Like, yeah, it's going to be a problem for Japan and Europe, but you can fill up a studio. You can fill up a restaurant with a bunch of studio people from, like, California or the West Coast. No problem. And you don't need a ton of people there. Just kind of... I think the problem, the big problem the gaming industry faces, and this is something that the VGAs AVGA, AVGX doesn't fix, and it always tries to in its mind, is that we don't really have personalities in the game and industry. Like, you go to Hollywood, and you know directors, you know actors, you know actresses. Heck, sure, most people probably won't know a cinematographer or, you know, a dresser, a choreographer or anything like that. But you do have faces to that. Gaming, you have very few faces, and even those faces are already kind of known to gamers. Like, I imagine most people couldn't pick Kiffy B out of a lineup.
It's true. Gaming's more related to the studios as opposed to the people behind it, and yet sometimes the people behind it get a little bit of attention.
Yeah, but the people behind it are also kind of, what's the word, not cool.
Well, that could be the case in any industry. Really, what happens is a lot of people, especially in Hollywood and music, this is why you tend to see this more with the other acts, is like, if on the higher level, you get a lot of PR training and how to relate to people, and then you see that like with independence and stuff like that, and this goes for video games as well, is like those tend to be the people who kind of respond to every other criticism they ask out, because they don't have anybody who's like, you know, don't do this, you're not going to win, it's just going to be bad for you. I mean, granted, there are some people who do stupid stuff, but I assume they're told that, so it gives them an image, like Miley Cyrus in her past year.
Yeah.
So yeah, there's that.
Well, I think the other thing also with like video game industry people is that not all of them are able to take criticism in a mature way, the same way that filmmakers are.
Well, I think... Well, because
the industry is still growing, they're like some fine kinks to work out as regards like what really like constitutes a game in some people's minds, as opposed to like a movie you can tell easily, but there's still like a debate over what constitutes as a game.
Well, I don't think there's much the argument usually isn't between the industry, it's between gamers who want to consider one thing game and one thing not a game. And yes, I'm guilty of that as well. I will always kind of poke fun at David Cage games for that reason. But, I mean, we clearly define them as video games. Like, some people say point-and-click adventures aren't video games and stuff like that, but the fact of the matter is...
All games are point-and-click.
But yeah, I mean, you know, there's the same way that I had this discussion a few years ago when Artist won Best Film. People were like, that shouldn't win because it's not, you know, it's black and white and it's no sound. It should represent the best film of the year, yada, yada, yada. But at the end of the day, it's a film and it was the best one released that year and stuff like that. So we don't really have that problem with video games. I do agree. I do think the video game industry is trying to mature much faster than it needs to because it wants to be where everybody else is without taking the lumps those industries took to get there. Because, I mean, the Oscars are, what, 80-some-odd years old? I assume they didn't get it right the first time.
Yeah.
Probably
not. I mean, granted, the VGAs are, I think, 12 years old now?
I think so. Somewhere around, like, 10 to 12.
They act like they're 12.
And that's the problem, is I think it's an audience. They expect the audience they're going to get, and this would be true if ratings weren't starting every year and they were off TV this year, to be that kind of dude, bro, Call of Duty-type gamer... when it seems to be the people who are most interested in it are kind of the online game, the people who kind of have their ears to the industry. And it's kind of like they don't know how to work that middle ground. I also think we kind of give the VGAs a lot more credit because it's on television, because I think there's a lot more respectable video game awards, like DICE Awards.
IGDAs.
I think there's another one. And we'll get to this next year because you folks, I think this is your first award show for us next year. I hate any award that is done in the calendar year of that product because the year's not over. Like, I mean, I'm not going to say anything, but like we mentioned, no Xbox One or PS4 games, no Gran Turismo 5. So, I mean, there were games that came out after that window that were still in this calendar year.
That's true. Mario 3D World just came out last week and then the VGX it won some awards, so it's like, what? It's been out for 7 days.
Yeah, it's that honeymoon period where it's like everything's so shiny, great, and awesome. Give it time to digest and see where it sits. Like, there's really no hurry. Like, it's not going to change anything. But yes.
Maybe. Because, like, I remember everybody was giving Infinite, like, rave reviews and such. Do you remember, it was back in, like, November or October when GameSpot gave Infinite like a 4 out of 10 later.
Yeah.
I feel like that if that continues to be a thing, that's going to happen a lot more.
Yeah, I feel like, I mean, and this is why, if you haven't noticed Game of the Year, a lot of them tend to favor games that come out in November, because those are the ones that tend to be freshest in people's memories. It's one of the reasons why, one, we don't do award show in the year that they come out, and two, we also, at least on the video game side of the site, we do what we call a Game of the Year countdown, where we literally just go through the calendar and say, okay, this game came out here, we played this, you know, it was good, but I don't know. This way you kind of get a refresher, you kind of bring everything back to light, and it actually gives us something to do for the month of December, because there's really no news, so I'll be completely honest with that one. But yeah, there's a lot of problems with the VGAs, and I think, I don't know why, because I assume we're going to go through the same thing next year when they promise they're going to change, and people are going to be like, oh, I'm going to watch it this year, and nothing changes at all.
The only thing I'm disappointed about with the VGX is that they did not announce a new Batman or Fallout 4.
Well, the Fallout 4 is being rumored to be exist now.
Yeah.
I think there's two ways to see that though. The first one's extremely cynical of me. It says there's really not a ton of stuff coming out next year. But it's going to be a very interesting transitional year, because when else are you I guess you can announce stuff. I mean, Sony can do an event in February or something like that, but like right now, I assume what we got at each E3, because a lot of that stuff isn't out or close to out. A lot of that stuff is going to be what's going to kind of pad out next year, and then I assume the major multi-platforms, Assassin's Creed, Call of Duty, Madden, FIFA, you know, all that stuff. The other thing is, I think a lot of people just knew this was going to be a crap show and decided not to show up. So I guess both of my views are cynical.
I mean, you're right.
Okay. So I guess we get to the depressing part of our show. If you folks have anything to add before we move on.
Do you want to talk about the Amazing Spider-Man trailer real quick?
We did.
We did? Yeah.
Oh, sorry.
That's right, you are sorry.
So yeah, this Batman, as they say, deaths always come in three. We were hit with some major deaths. I will just say up front that all due respect to Nelson Mandela, we won't be talking about him on this show. It doesn't really fit in what we talk about. But I do want to give credit to that, because he's a huge formative figure, and that would just, you can't really cross over it too much.
I'm trying so hard not to laugh right now.
Why?
Just the way you mentioned that's funny.
It's
the only way you could have possibly covered it, and I understand what's going on, but it's like, Nelson Mandela is important at all, but we won't be talking about him.
Yeah,
it's interesting.
I mean, what else can you say about him?
I agree. No, I completely agree with you. I just think it's a weird situation, and it's the right call to not, because it's not relevant to our audience, but the idea of Nelson Mandela and someone that important not being relevant to any kind of an audience is a funny thought.
Yeah. That said, we did have some deaths that were kind of, I really hate talking about deaths, because there's no way to word these properly without sounding callous at times. But I was going to say, I guess the most important one kind of moving forward is Paul Walker. Now, partially because he is a huge part of a major franchise that really is kind of, well, it's had immediate repercussions, because the film production has been halted as they figure out what to do with him.
Still in the middle of filming 7.
Yeah.
When is the last time something like this happened to where it affected production?
To affect production?
Yeah, that affected the production of future franchises. Like Spartacus.
I was going to say, that's Heath Ledger.
But that didn't really, they finished.
Yeah,
it did. No, well, I mean, they were done, but I assume they were plans to bring him back. The ending of The Dark Knight pretty much hints at him being a constant threat. And I believe that just kind of stopped them from doing any type of reshoots. It's a good thing they got. But I guess the another one, and this is probably old, is Dumbledore.
Okay, fair.
And,
I was just curious what the precedent was for this situation and how big of an impact it had. But even Dumbledore wasn't like the lead character, so
he wasn't, but I mean it's a major character, and you can get away with recasting him, especially being that the films did kind of switch tones anyhow with that.
I think there's no way in hell they recast him.
No, you can't recast. That's the thing. It's like,
oh, is it?
No, they cannot recast him. I don't think they're going to. They're probably going to have to. They're either going to make his death in the franchise real or something else.
Yeah, but here's the question: it's dumbly ironic too, because what's the best way to kill off a character in a Fast and Furious movie? They die in a car crash. But
and they already did that with one other character.
Yeah, well, that's
actually
not the problem.
Two other characters, but
yeah, a few of them.
Well, yeah, a few of them have come back as well. So,
well, yeah, it's a little bit weird because they were going with this sort of plot line after six. No spoilers, or at least I'm not trying to. But
well,
this plot line
there's not
fast,
a lot
fast,
of. Yeah,
Fast 3 is like 5 years old. Go on.
Well, yeah, I'm just gonna say basically after Fast 6, they hinted how they're gonna go forward after Tokyo Drift and whatnot, and they're having this sort of like someone's going and killing the whole cast basically sort of thing, so it's like a revenge plot almost.
Oh.
So it kind of doesn't mesh, or does mesh in some ways with
that's
that.
Yeah, but then that would feel a little bit, don't you think that feel a bit tacky?
I'm waiting for the person that goes to the theater and is like, wait, why? They're going to bring Paul Walker back, right? Like the person that just completely misses all this news and gets very, very sad about the Fast and Furious movie.
There is no way that anyone can miss that after the past few weeks.
All right.
Well, I mean, there were other kind of more pressing stuff. like I said, Paul Walker's a big death, but there were, you know, like we mentioned Nelson Mandela, which I think was a lot more on the nation's conscience right after Paul Walker.
It should have been, at least, not to downplay Paul Walker, but it just
yeah
a little right bit more overall relevant.
Yeah. We also had the death of Edna Krabappel, who's actress name I'm drawing a blank on, who died in, I want to say November?
Yeah,
a few weeks ago.
Yeah.
I didn't even know that one. That's how big the event was, or that's how big the last two deaths have been in the news lately. I didn't even catch that.
At this instance, they didn't ask you to send off to her.
Mm-hmm. They said that they would put her character on retirement. Out of respect for the actress.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, what do you do after 25 years? You don't cast a voice. And, I mean, all she's right a teacher. I mean, it's going to be curious to see who they replace her with. But, yeah, I mean, the other thing with, I guess, voice acting is a lot of the work is kind of done up front. So she's still going to be around for several more episodes, maybe into early next season.
I didn't think about that. It's not that there's that many more seasons of The Simpsons left, looking at it, so.
Well, I mean, who knows?
Maybe they just pull a chef and just use sound clips from old episodes.
Nah.
But that was different, because he was still alive. They were just poking fun of him.
Yeah, that's true.
Okay, apparently we're not going to talk about death on this show anymore.
Okay, real quick, on the Paul Walker thing. Does anyone else feel a little weird seeing that all the commercials for Fast 6 are promoting it as saying, like, if you buy the DVD, the proceeds go to his charity?
I don't necessarily
know. It feels a little weird.
It does kind of feel like they're exploiting it just a bit. But, I mean, it is a good deed. Maybe they shouldn't advertise it so much. But
right.
It's, you know, it's fine. Okay. Like everything in life, any event is going to be used in some way as a bit of a marketing thing. That's just what people do now. And that's a lot less egregious than some I've seen. Like, that's a lot better than some attempts at that sort of thing that have happened in the past.
Yeah, Fast 6 has been out for, I believe, now 2 months, 2 or 3 months.
Yeah.
So it's not like it's being aggressive with it either.
It's just coming out now.
No, it just came out today, or yesterday, actually.
Did it? I thought it had come out.
No, I was surprised it didn't come out either. I was looking for Black Friday, and it wasn't out yet.
Interesting.
It's a pretty big movie. It's, I think we mentioned this last week. It's one of the biggest American-made franchises in recent memory. Any other news you folks want to tackle before we begin to wrap?
Elder Scrolls Online comes out April 4th for PC and June for everything else. Are you guys going to get it?
No.
Okay, there we go.
Unless it improved significantly since the last time I played it.
I'm with that as well.
Oh, you played it?
Yeah, I got to play it at, I think, PAX somehow.
Yeah, I played it at PAX East also. Cool.
No, that wasn't really.
I mean, it sounds cool, but I guess if you...
Yeah, no, I know what you mean.
Yeah. Earl, real quick on the comics talk. Did you see the art of... Did you see the... I guess it's like Lady Nightwing or something. She's got like a shaved head.
Oh, yeah.
So what do you think that is?
I think people mentioned that the possible Robin they've been hinting at in the Batman books might be it.
Okay, because one of my friends thought that it may be Cass Kane.
I thought she was coming back in... Well, I guess that makes sense. Okay. I know she was supposed to come back in Batman Eternals, and we're probably just kind of alienating these two right now.
That's all right.
But, yeah, I thought you were going to talk about the DC, the new...
the Futures thing?
Futures End.
Yeah, so how exactly is that going to work? It's weak. I know that it's weekly, and it's supposed to like take place in the past and the present and the future. And Terry is now like part of the New 52. That's all I know.
Yeah, that's pretty much all they've shared with us. I'm kind of curious.
Well, I thought that Terry was already part of the New 52 for a while.
I don't think Batman. I don't know how it's DC's continuity. Let's not get into that. That's a whole show on its own, just trying to figure out what they're trying to figure out. I'm going to rap.
I'm going to get a burrito.
Oh.
Similar to a rap, but not quite.
Anyhow. Check out the website. As always, we're putting up comic book reviews. We have Dead Body Road, Abe and Stefan. We're going to have Justice League, X-Men, I think Green Lantern. We have two pieces up on Wonder Woman's casting, a new comic Anvil. You can find us, of course, on www.nerdsontherocks.com, your number one source for Nerds on the Rocks. That makes no sense, but whatever, I'll fix it in post. And you could also...
I don't know what kind of stuff you guys are putting up this week.
I don't. And we'll be back next week, hopefully, with Sam and Justin having seen Die Hard and Die Hard 2.
Do I have to?
Or it's going to be a really awkward conversation.
Wait, what's the conversation about?
Die Hard and Die Hard 2.
When did you tell us this?
I told you this like two weeks ago.
It's scheduled.
Oh.
Yeah, that was my reaction too.
I'll look into it. Whatever, dude. I ain't got time for all this Bruce Willis junk. I don't
it
watch
takes
Bruce Willis.
4 hours. I gave you a month heads up.
That's too much work.
Oh, then you
not
got
enough time.
Okay, just to give you the heads up, and this is going to be 7.5 months out. We're doing an Independence Day podcast in July because you and Sam haven't seen that movie either.
I don't want to watch it.
Earth. That's all I know about it.
Well, you're going to watch it, and you're going to stop quoting the single line you two know from the film.
No. This is America. I can quote what I want to inside or outside of context.
I'm pretty sure he says, hasta la vista, Earth. I'm pretty sure that's in the movie.
No, that's in Jingle All the Way.
Oh, you're right. I'm sorry.
Oh my gosh. Anyhow.
Yippee-ki-yay, mother alien.
For Dan, Sam, Justin, and myself, this has been Nerds on the Rocks, episode 156.
Bye.
Bye.
A honky dove, stop a war with love. Make a liar tell it true. Wonder Woman. You do.